Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the content in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
Welcome to Catholic Baltimore. The Archdiocese of Baltimore held an interfaith prayer service April 12, 2018, to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The guest preacher was the Reverend Dr. Raphael G. Warnock, senior pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, which was Dr. King's spiritual home. Today on Catholic Baltimore, we will hear an edited version of Reverend Warnock's sermon.
To all of you, my sisters and my brothers, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. Thank you so very much. I'm humbled and grateful to be here. Now, we are an ecumenical gathering, and God is known by many names and worshiped in many houses. But of one blood, God has called all nations to dwell upon the face of the earth, that we might seek after God. And yet God is not far from any one of us. In him we live and move and have our being. What a wonderful gathering of the children of God. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, I make all things new. I just want to talk for a little while about a new heaven and a new earth. The spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. draws us to this place. And as we remember him, we would do well to remember why he went to Memphis, where he would meet his destiny in the first place. He went to Memphis fighting for those on the margins of the margins. It was 1968. Garbage collectors fighting for their basic human dignity. We're trying to get a movement started, and if we are honest tonight, the church was slow to get on board. I don't know if it was the politics of respectability. I don't know if it was a lack of courage or uncertainty. It's difficult sometimes to discern in the moment what to do. The movement had a lot of fits and starts, and then on February 1st, can I tell the story? Two garbage collectors by the name of Echo Cole and Robert Walker were literally crushed. The bodies were crushed in the compacted area of their garbage trucks, and their shed blood provided fuel for a movement that finally got started. Poor and marginalized, crushed by the machinery of systemic oppression. They were there in the back of that garbage truck in the first place because the curious logic of Jim Crow segregation said that they could not ride in the front of the truck, and so they were in the compactor, trying to find some shelter from the storm. But from the storm of racism and classism, there was no hiding place. So they were crushed, and Dr. King made his way to Memphis, and then he made his way to Memphis again, and then on April 4th, he met his destiny on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. But what I want you to know tonight is that he was scheduled to preach at our church. He was scheduled to preach at Ebenezer on April 7th, 1968, and there among the effects in his briefcase were the early thoughts of a sermon he never lived to preach. We don't know the text, but the title was Why America May Go to Hell. I know that's shocking, but don't get mad at me. That's Dr. King's sermon. You're here to celebrate him, right? Perhaps it's hard for us to imagine Dr. King preaching a sermon entitled Why America May Go to Hell, because Dr. King, although he lived and died long before our current era, years ago, he was already the victim of identity theft. In other words, when Dr. King died, we resurrected a new Martin Luther King Jr., one who does not make us too uncomfortable, and so it's hard for us to imagine the prophet of peace preaching with such harsh words, but you ought to remember that it was not the first time that Dr. King spoke to the country that he loved so much with some challenging words. In other words, he was the best kind of patriot because he loved the country enough to tell the country the truth. Yes. Now is the time for truth telling. Now is the time to call the nation to be the best. To stand tall with moral excellence, to push past the predictable partisan arguments of the public square and catch a glimpse of the vision of a new heaven and a new earth. It's bigger than Republican politics, bigger than Democratic politics. It is God's vision of a new heaven and a new earth. And whenever people of faith catch a vision of what God intends, it makes folk on the right and the left uncomfortable. Whatever your politics, you ought to be suspicious of this idea, not of greatness, but of againness. Because as a person of African descent, I have to ask, when was this again? Was it when I was 3/5 of a human being? Was it when women could not vote? No, a new heaven and a new earth. Dr. King went to Memphis and died in Memphis fighting for that. And you ought to keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't give up on America. Don't give up on our children. Don't you dare give up on God. Triplet evils, he said, of racism, poverty, and war. Racism, we're still dealing with it. It is that old sin. And we don't like to talk about it in America. But you can't heal a disease without a diagnosis. Without a diagnosis, there's no prescription. We can talk about racism in so many ways, but let me just say that in America today, we live with this tragic irony. All of the racialized barriers that Dr. King lived to pull down, and to be sure he accomplished much. Those who say nothing has changed don't get it. A whole lot has changed. We ought to pay homage to those who died too young and gave so much, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, not just black folk. And yet, many of the racialized barriers have reinvented themselves within the context of what that brilliant legal mind, Michelle Alexander, calls the new Jim Crow, mass incarceration in the age of colorblindness. And so today, 3 years ago today, Freddie Gray lost his life. But I submit to you, Baltimore, that as tragic as those incidents are, they are tragic and predictable. Because while we abhor police brutality, and Dr. King was talking about police brutality, did you know that? In 1963, he said, some are asking, when will we be satisfied? We will not be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim. As long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. He said that in the I Have a Dream speech. We don't even like to hear the whole I Have a Dream speech. We've cherry-picked Dr. King. He said, as long as the Negro is the victim of police brutality. In other words, he recognized that there was racial bias, and he was honest about it. Translation, it was the 1963 version of Black Lives Matter. Don't get mad at me, and don't get mad when folks say Black Lives Matter. That's part of what it means to be an oppressed people. Say, all lives matter, of course. And that's the point. Part of what it means to be an oppressed people is that you have to have a campaign and a movement to declare about yourself that which ought to be obvious. 50 years ago, have you thought about it? No, it's kind of like Sunday school. You've seen it so often, you haven't thought about it. 50 years ago, I am a man. Why would anybody have to say that? What it means to be an oppressed person is you have to have a movement to declare about yourself that which ought to be obvious. I am a man. I am a man. So during the truth, 19th century, asking rhetorically, challenging racism and sexism, ain't I a woman? Black Lives Matter. In Dr. King's lifetime, there were less than 200,000 people in America's prisons. In 1980, there were about 300,000 or so Americans in prison. Today, there are 2.3 million Americans in prison. Most of them are there for nonviolent drug-related offenses in America's so-called war on drugs. We warehouse in America 25% of the world's prisoners. Nobody else comes close, not even China with a billion people. We've got them beat. We warehouse 25% of the world's prisoners in the so-called war on drugs. And here's the irony, when they come out, or even if they don't serve much time or no time at all, when our children take a plea, sometimes for a marijuana charge, and we deplore drug use, to be sure. But some children are taken down to central booking, others are taken home. Issue is not simply drugs. For 35 years, we've had a war on drugs. And so when they get out, 1964, civil rights law, completely undermined. 1965, voting rights law, for them, undermined. Why? Because job discrimination, legal. You have to check the box. Housing discrimination, legal. Voting discrimination, legal. But for 35 years, Freddie Gray, the tip of the spear. That's physical death. Those who can't get jobs, can't get an apartment, they suffer social death. For 35 years, we've had a war on drugs. Now, back then, we were dealing with heroin and crack. Now, we're dealing with meth and opioids. And it's interesting to me that now we have a public health emergency. I'm glad we've become so enlightened. Now that the bodies are suburban, rural, and white. Public health emergency. In a war, you have enemy combatants. Public health crisis, you have patients. I'm glad we're taking this approach. I just want to know, as I think about the war on drugs that did as much devastation to places like Baltimore as the drugs themselves, I just want to know, where is the restorative justice package for the inner cities like Baltimore that have been devastated by 35 years of this so-called war? Got to deal with racism. We've got to deal with poverty. It's expensive to be poor. Poor people have to work 2-3 jobs. In 1968, when Dr. King went to Memphis to fight for those workers, do you know that the minimum wage in 1968 had more purchasing power than it does today? We're still crushing the poor in the compactor of systemic oppression. And if the church, if people of faith, if the mosque and the synagogue will not speak up, who will? I preach in memory of that one who said, "I came to preach good news to the poor." You cannot say you love God whom you have not seen and not love the poor whom you see every day. Don't talk about poor people like they're not human. It makes me so mad. And I believe that it disturbs God. America, invest in your children. It's the greatest resource that we have. All children ought to have a chance. Give all of our children a chance. All sides of town. I saw a new heaven, the new earth. Racism was gone. Poverty was gone. Racism, poverty, and then finally Dr. King talked about war. And some are beating the drums of war even tonight. Pray for our nation, but as you think about the geopolitical situation, let us resist the demons of militarism in our that disturb our domestic situation. We've got more guns in America than there are people. Don't ever forget that Dr. King was himself the victim of gun violence. I still believe in the vision of a new heaven and a new earth. Do I get tired and weary sometimes? Of course I do. And when I get tired and weary, I just look up. And because I'm a preacher, I'd love to tell you that when I look up, I see some grand and lofty vision, the very finger of God writing across the milky deep in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. Truth be told, all I usually see is birds flying by. But I love to see birds fly by. I especially like to see geese, because geese fly in a V formation. Pelicans flap their wings faster, but they don't go as far. If you want to go fast, fly alone. If you want to go far, fly together. Geese fly in a V formation, and the one out front that's getting all the glory and the sunshine, the one that you want to hate on because he's out front getting all of the media attention, the one out front, if he's a real leader, is actually working the hardest, leading by example. What I like about geese is that when the one out front grows tired, he just moves further back into the formation, and another one moves up and takes her place. And geese do that without a church schism. They do that without a war. They do that without one side of the geese formation deciding to shut the whole geese government down. Why? Because geese understand that my individual location is not as important as our collective destination. And so, if you want to celebrate Dr. King, you don't have to be Dr. King, just have as much sense as a goose. Pray together, struggle together, plan together, work together, fight together, stand together, we shall overcome.
You have been listening to an edited version of the sermon by the Reverend Dr. Raphael G. Warnock, Senior Pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, at an interfaith prayer service April 12th to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. For the full sermon and a transcript, visit archbalt.org. You've been listening to Catholic Baltimore.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, The Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have The Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
Join Catholic Review Media and the Archdiocese of Baltimore to see the Passion Play in Oberammergau, Germany, June 19th to 27th, 2020. travel with Archbishop William E. Lurie, Father Michael Fappiano, and Father Jim Prophet on a 9-day, 7-night pilgrimage to Austria and Germany. Land-only price is projected at $3,399 per person, double occupancy. There are still a few spots remaining. Reserve your seat today by visiting archbalt.org/passionplaypilgrimage. Again, that's archbalt.org/passionplaypilgrimage.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.